Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. Right now we're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 32. And we're going to ask the Lord now, all of us together, because for as many as two or more are gathered together in His name, the Lord is right here with us. The Lord is ever present anyway, we have to realize that. So let's ask Him to anoint and to teach us great lessons from chapter 32 for ourselves, to enhance our ability to be priests and kings. David was the king, and he was anointed by Samuel. And the priests, Aaron, was anointed by Moses. And we are anointed by the Lord to be priests, His priests, to be mediators between the people of the world and God. And we need to know the Bible in order to be able to lead them away from their sinful lives and into the kingdom of heaven here on earth, because this is where it has to be done, so that they too can be a nation of anointed kings and priests, so that they can officiate as mediators also, or deliverers, or messiahs, not as Christ was the true Messiah, but He is the solid rock and the chief cornerstone, and we are also stones built upon Him. Delivers to the Lord in us, delivers others unto the kingdom of heaven, and into the priesthood and into the kingship, to be anointed as kings and priests to help out in this work of developing the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and to bind the things here on earth that the Lord wants bound, so that the people of the earth are able to see the representation of the Lord in us, that He, the Messiah, the deliverer, is certainly in us, and that the kingship is also there, the double anointing of David and Aaron, and more than that, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us the lessons to further our capability to be kings and priests from this chapter, and how horrible sin is, and how strict You are, and how important it is for You, for us to follow exactly the things that are represented here in the Old Testament, which are symbolic of the necessity of our walk in the Holy Spirit in these last days, to the people of the world. We are to mediate, we are to bring the world to Your feet. Lord, we ask that You do these things, make us capable kings and priests, spiritual kings and priests, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Exodus chapter 32, King James Version, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us.
See, this is what people are doing today, because they're saying the Lord delayeth His coming. Now, Moses was a symbolic Messiah or representative of the Lord, and also because he officiated also in the priesthood, as Aaron did, and because he would anoint Aaron and his sons and cover their right earlobe with blood and their right thumb and toe, a big toe on their right foot and their thumb on their right hand, so that which is symbolic of them doing the priesthood in righteousness, that everything they did with their hands and their walk in the Lord with their feet, and that they would hear clean things. And so Moses officiated in this priesthood as well, and everything that he did, everything the Lord commanded him to do, he did well. So read that just one more time, that verse.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount.
Yes, so they are saying, let's build a camp, a god here to take us back. Now, just because the Lord is not come yet, because everything is almost fulfilled and he will come back, because the Lord doesn't go back on his promises, we're to continue on in faith, walking in the Holy Spirit, because we know that his Spirit is with us, and that he doesn't delay at all doing the things that he says he'll do if we walk in the Spirit. He provides for his people, he heals his people, and he saves his people. So people shouldn't be saying the Lord isn't come down, because he is come down. Many people are suffering today because they haven't entered into the kingship and the priesthood of the Lord, which was symbolized in the Old Testament of by King David, who was anointed with oil, which was symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and Aaron, who was anointed with oil as well. And this, so let's not be as these people here saying Moses didn't come, or the Lord didn't come down. He's here with us, very present, very nigh. He lives inside of us. And he responds to our prayers, and he blesses us every day of our lives, if we are walking in the Spirit. So this just really irritates me to see that people are that far away, but of course they didn't really know the Lord as we do today. So we know the Lord much better, so there's no excuse for us. So let's keep reading here.
The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters.
So right here, Aaron has shown himself to be a jellyfish, a Casper milk toast, a very weak-kneed or lily-livered type person. And he had to die early because that he responded quickly to obey the children of Israel that have fallen away, because Moses didn't come down as soon as they wanted him to. And he responded to them after hearing from the Lord, as he had, and seeing all the different things that the Lord had done. And okay, so he built them a calf. Then he lied about it later on. Go ahead.
And break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation.
On top of building him a calf, he builds an altar for it. This man was just very, very weak. Okay, then what?
Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
When the Lord was explaining to Moses what was done, he didn't even separate Aaron from the people. He didn't say Aaron did this to give him any specific exaltation. He just said the people have, because he just considered him one of the sinful people. It was no big deal at this point with the Lord. All right? Then go to the translation.
Translation verses 1 through 8. The calf of gold. When Moses failed to come back down the mountain right away, the people went to Aaron. Quote, "Look," they said, "make us some gods who can lead us. This man Moses, who brought us here from Egypt, has disappeared. We don't know what has happened to him," unquote. So Aaron said, quote, "Tell your wives and sons and daughters to take off their gold earrings, and then bring them to me," unquote. All the people obeyed Aaron and brought him their gold earrings. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded and tooled it into the shape of a calf. The people exclaimed, quote, "O Israel, these are the good gods who brought you out of Egypt," unquote. When Aaron saw how excited the people were about it, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, quote, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord!" Exclamation mark, unquote.
To the Lord, that is their that calf is what he was meaning. Then what?
So the people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulged themselves in pagan revelry. Then the Lord told Moses, quote, "Quick!" exclamation mark. "Go down the mountain!" exclamation mark. "The people you brought from Egypt have defiled themselves. They have already turned from the way I commanded them to live. They have made an idol shaped like a calf, and they have worshipped and sacrificed to it. They are saying, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.'" King James Version, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them."
Now here's this little hunk of clay standing before before God, and the Lord is saying, "Let me alone," this little grain of dust called Moses. Then what?
"And I will make of thee a great nation."
Then what?
"And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, 'Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.'" Translation, verse 9 through 13. Then the Lord said, quote, "I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone, so my anger can blaze against them and destroy them all. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation instead of them," unquote. But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God not to do it. Quote, "O Lord!" exclamation mark. He exclaimed, "Why are you so angry with your own people, whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and mighty acts?" Unquote. The Egyptians will say, "God tricked them into coming to the mountain so he could kill them and wipe them from the face of the earth. Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you are planning against your people! Exclamation mark. Remember your covenant with your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You swore by your own self, quote, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. Yes, I will give them all of this land that I have promised to your descendants, and they will possess it forever, unquote. King James Version, verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people.
He temporarily stayed his order of execution, but he did it gradually so that the people of the world of Egypt would not think that he had brought these people out to murder them or to do anything mischievous with them. And of course it wasn't mischievous. They sinned against him, and he does things in his own time. And it seemed that momentarily that he had repented of his order of execution, but he did do it. All right, okay, continue on.
Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides.
Now, the reason I said that is because of the fact that a lot of people might think that God, oh, he'll repent, or Moses caused God to repent. The Lord is testing Moses to see if the love of God was in him, and to show him gradually, because people really didn't know the Lord until around this time, during the deliverance period. And so the Lord doesn't want us to think he winks at sin or blinks at it. But so as you read on in the Word of God, you see that the Lord is no wimp, that he opens up the earth and swallows people into hell whole. And all these people, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, definitely their carcasses were left out on the desert. And therefore he did it in such a gradual way that no one is able to accuse him of the things that Moses stated that they would. And Moses was right in that regard. And so the Lord is not being taught by Moses, but he wanted to see if Moses also remembered the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he did, and so this pleased the Lord. And the Lord loved Moses, and because he did everything that the Lord stated that he should do. All right, now then.
Verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Translation, verse 14 through 19. So the Lord withdrew his threat and didn't bring against his people the disaster he had threatened. Then Moses turned and went down the mountain. He held in his hands the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. These stone tablets were God's work. The words on them were written by God himself. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting below them, he exclaimed to Moses, quote, It sounds as if there is a war in the camp! Exclamation mark, unquote. But Moses replied, quote, No, it's neither a cry of victory nor a cry of defeat. It is the sound of a celebration. Unquote. When they came near the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing. In terrible anger, he threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. Bracket, they broke the covenant, so the tablets of stone that God had written, Moses broke. End bracket. King James Version, verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it.
So he actually melted it down and put it into the earth, and then sprinkled, poured water all over it, and then made the people of Israel drink the beaten gold with the dirt and the water. Moses made them all drink it, because they were supposed to eat the flesh of Christ, in other words, eat the Word of God, do what the Word says, and then drink His blood. We're not to, by faith, we apply the blood of Christ onto our soul, and we're to drink it. And so this was their God, so He made them drink this defiled thing after it had been melted down and dried up and then turned into powder, and mixing it with the dirt and the mire and then filling it with water and made them drink it all. Okay, then what?
And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief.
Yeah, like Aaron's doth transferring the guilt of this over to them. He was not a reprover of them, as we are called to do, to reprove people of sin. He just went ahead and helped them build it, and then built an altar on top of it and called a day a festival to worship it and have a good time, what they considered to be a good time. Okay, then what?
For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf.
See, it's a dirty lie he told, you know, that he didn't build the calf. He just threw it in, and it was a miraculous thing that the calf came into being. Okay, now read the translation. So he's a idol worshiper and an image maker and a liar.
Translation, verse 20 through 24.
And Moses was supposed to believe that, you know. Here he's talking to God, and God's talking to him, and he knew exactly what it was, all right?
He took the calf they had made and melted it in the fire. Then when the metal had cooled, he ground it into powder and mixed it with water. Then he made the people drink it. After that, he turned to Aaron, quote, What did the people do to you? He demanded. How did they ever make you bring such terrible sin upon them? Unquote. Quote, Don't get upset, sir, Aaron replied. You yourself know these people and what a wicked bunch they are.
Yeah, and that he's just a real living doll, you know. Okay, what else?
They said to me, Make us some gods to lead us, for something has happened to this man Moses, who led us out of Egypt. So I told them, Aaron said, Bring me your gold earrings. When they brought them to me, I threw them into the fire, and out came this calf, exclamation mark, unquote. King James Version, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor.
Now he said this to the priests. The priests had to go and put some swords on their side and go and kill all these people. It doesn't make any difference if it's who it is, friend, family, whatever, that didn't come unto him. Then what else?
And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Translation, verse 25 through 28. When Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control, and much to the amusement of their enemies, he stood at the entrance to the camp and shouted, quote, All of you who are on the Lord's side, come over here and join me, unquote. And all the Levites came. He told them, quote, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Strap on your swords, exclamation mark. Go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other, killing even your brothers, friends, and neighbors, unquote. The Levites obeyed Moses, and about 3,000 people died that day.
About the same amount that were killed at Pearl Harbor and over at the World Trade Center. Okay, then what? But this was a godly disaster to these people. And they, according to God, they deserved it. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 29. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
See right there, he's still continuing on this extermination of these people, and so Moses never persuaded him to not do that to them in a methodical way. He just said he's going to do it methodically, okay, and gradually. All right, then what?
Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made.
All right, and Moses couldn't say a thing about it. Amen?
Amen.
Couldn't persuade the Lord to stop destroying the sinners that are worshiping other gods. Okay, then what?
Translation verses 29 through 35. Then Moses told the Levites, quote, Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, for you obeyed him even though it meant killing your own sons and brothers. Because of this, he will now give you a great blessing. Moses intercedes for Israel. The next day Moses said to the people, quote, You have committed a terrible sin. But I will return to the Lord on the mountain. perhaps I will be able to obtain forgiveness for you, unquote. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, quote, alas, these people have committed a terrible sin. They have made gods of gold for themselves. But now, please forgive their sin. And if not, then blot me out of the record you are keeping, unquote. The Lord replied to Moses, quote, I will blot out whoever has sinned against me.
Yeah, I'm not listening to you, Moses. If you sin, I'll blot you out. Anyone, whosoever sins against me, I'll blot out. These people that sinned against me, I'm going to blot them out. And if I blot you out, and if you don't like that, I'll blot you out and send your soul to hell. It's just like I'm going to do them. There's nothing you can say or do about that. Then what?
Now go, lead the people to the place I told you about. Look! Exclamation mark. My angel will lead the way before you! Exclamation mark. But when I call the people to account, I will certainly punish them for their sins. Unquote.
I'm going to certainly do it. So the Lord, people say, well, the Lord just loves people regardless of what they do. Unconditional. It's this way in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to punish them. Then what?
And the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they had worshipped the calf Aaron had made.
Okay, now that was the last verse in chapter 32, and now some commentary.
32, verse 1 through 20. Israel broke, really shattered, the second commandment by making a golden calf idol. God had clearly said, quote, do not make idols of any kind. Exodus 20, verse 4 through 6.
And we're not to worship any other god. The people of the congregation can, or the hearer of this tape can just look that up for themselves, because we've already gone through it. Ben Mark.
Casper Miltoast Aaron, rebellious Aaron, tried to put a good face on his blasphemy, 32 verses 22 through 24, but to no avail. The people's behavior represented a wholesale turning from their previously professed faith and commitment to God. This incident contains a tremendous lesson and warning for those of you who believe that you have come so far in recovery, or that because you're a born-again Christian and that you've been delivered from sin and Satan by the Lord, that you are immune from destruction if you ever turn back to sin again. 1 John 5:21. Quote, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Unquote. No matter how far or what position the Lord has given you, this man was the priest, you are never safe from the wrath of God and destruction from God if you believe that you can continue on in sin.
Right, and Aaron the priest is symbolic of us as priests. And so him as priest and the first of the priests eventually became, he did sin and he had to be pay for it. And so there's no difference. It's even worse for us because we have the Spirit of the Lord living in us, and we are part of another priesthood that is not the Levitical priesthood, but is the priesthood. We're a part of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is Christ. And so it's hotter for us if we sin. We have to realize how important and severe we ought to be in regard to closing the door to all sin. We have to slam the door to it. And the New Testament explains to us, and these are not idle words, to flee from the very appearance of evil. And it states, the Word of God, which is Christ, states over and over again, the soul that sins shall surely die. And if we sin, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen unto you. terrible things happen to people that are sinners. And when they get saved, they should be grateful and continue with in the Spirit of the Lord forever from then on. And if we sin after that we've known the Lord, unless it's a sin that we didn't know we were sinning, but when we become conscious of the sin, we have to repent and never do it again. But some people just continue to go on and on and on when they know perfectly well what the Word of God is saying. And then we as priests, and now kings also, of the King David priesthood anointing, and also the Aaron anointing, and much more, now we're anointed with the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is living in us. How much more would we be, should we expect that God's severity will not pass us by if we transgress as these people did, or in any other transgression against God's Torah? The word Torah in Hebrew means law. Now, we're not, after we're saved and we're keeping the Lord's commandments, we're not under the law. We're not, in other words, that means we're not breaking the Torah, the law. But if we break the Torah, the law, then the law goes in, comes, is against us. And that sin is on our soul, and the law will come and punish us eventually. If it doesn't happen today, there's the fearful waiting for the Lord to drop the axe on us sooner or later. Okay, then what?
32:21-29. Aaron displays himself to be a, quote, people pleaser, unquote. He caved in, or he broke down, and submitted to the idolatrous desires of the Israelites, rather than confront them with the sin of their hearts and in their lives. He also displayed a tremendous lack of honesty and an unwillingness to face the reality of his actions. To avoid his accountability to God and Moses, he made a far-fetched story of his behavior. 32:22-24. The consequences of Aaron's failure were terrible, reaching far beyond his personal reprimand. We have to learn from Aaron's sin. Aaron died later, early, because of it. We must defend the gospel and let God live out his life in us. It doesn't make any difference how unpopular you become for doing it. This is the way it is. We can't be like the world, like the crowds of sinful people. For if we did, the consequences for ourselves and the people around us will be terrible. 32:30-35. In the wake of the Israelites' horrible sinful idolatry, Moses took on the role of a loving father, some would say. But loving sinners after they've been delivered, the only thing that you can do is allow God to tell you what to do with them. He's not going to spare them. All of them dropped dead, with the exception of a couple of them. But in seeking atonement and forgiveness for the people's sins, Moses asked God to hold back the terrible consequences. He even suggested that he take the punishment upon himself. It is difficult for many parents and leaders to see that those under their charge must learn lessons. They have to learn responsibility by facing the full consequences of their wrong choices. In this case, God required that these disobedient people suffer the ultimate consequences. What is the ultimate consequences? Death and hell. 32:14.
If I might add, the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
32:14. It may seem to a lot of people that God relented. He did not totally reverse his decision to destroy the people. He merely tempered and took his time to do it. Verse 35. So no one should get the inference from these scriptures that Moses entirely changed his mind. He only changed his mind temporarily.
But God temporarily changed his mind. He didn't. What I'm saying is that Moses changed his mind, God's mind, okay? So then what else?
Moses only changed God's mind temporarily so that the people of Egypt, so that the people of Egypt and the rest of the world would know that God never called them into the desert to just destroy them, but that he destroyed them gradually because of their sin. Time will not erase sin.
Right, and another thing, too, is that God has all the time in the world. You know, if these people lived 50 years, 100 years, that's like not even a drop in the bucket to the Lord. He's patient in punishing them or murdering somebody for their, or destroying them, killing them for their sins. Eventually, not long from now, everyone that's alive today will be before the Lord. Not long at all, in his eyes. He's got plenty of time. He lives forever, but these people will not live forever in heaven to be punished forever for this. Then what?
Just because it took 40 years for all of them to die doesn't mean that God didn't make them pay for worshiping another god, which is no god. So God showed that he was God and that this calf was not. He made them drink that. First, Moses burnt the calf, melted it down, stamped it, made it like dust, let it dry, watered it down, and made them drink glasses of it.
Praise the Lord. That was the book of Exodus, chapter 32. Remember these lessons that God is a good God, but he's also a severe God. He's incredibly wonderful to those that love him and keep his commandments, that fear him, love him, and keep love his word, and keep his commandments. But to those that don't, he's a terrible God. It's a terrible thing, a horrible thing, a frightful thing to fall into the hands of the living God with sin on your soul when you deliberately defy him and don't believe him that he will destroy those. The soul that sins shall surely die. He that sinneth is of the devil, the Bible says. So keep meditating on the Lord. Think about him all the time. If you've sinned unconsciously, you didn't know that you were, then get to God as quickly as you can and stay there. And he'll forgive you. He will forgive, but don't ever think that he's going to wink at your sin, and that he's going to repent because you cry or something. Everyone cries when they think they're going to hell in the lake of fire. And most people just start crying and weeping when they know they're going to die. With the exception of those that know they're going to heaven, they're happy about it. So meditate. Think about God day and night. Think about it. That's what meditating means. And constantly remember the lessons from this chapter. God bless you, and praise the Lord. Amen.